with Jesus. I have always longed in my moments to leave the office of the Holy Ministry and do three things for a living simultaneously. One, be a truck driver. Two, make margaritas. And three, become a professional jingleist that makes up little jingles and ditties and stupid stuff for commercials. You can probably see how that might fit my personality. Speaking of which, and I can't remember if it's Geico or Progressive. Have you ever seen this commercial? It's been around for quite a while, maybe 10 years or so. They're in some office somewhere, and I'll give this as the hint. It's a Wednesday, and there's a camel going throughout the building, and he's all like, "Hey, Al, guess what day it is?" "Wednesday." "Hey, Sherry, guess what day it is?" And at the end, say it. "It's hump day." "It's hump day." You've seen this before. Now, why do I bring that up? Because I am here on this Holy Trinity Sunday to say happy hump day to all of you. I don't mind the fan being on, but I might lose my voice. We'll see how it goes, just because I have to speak up over the fan a little bit. So why don't you bring it over here and put it right here behind me? And if it can get around me, you can have some too. But then my voice, it would help project. No, I'm just kidding. We'll see if we can make it work. But it's hump day. In the church year, this is actually hump day of the year. It's the exact middle point of the church year. We've completed the festival half, where we follow the life of Christ from his coming through his ascension. And we witness the baton being passed off in the upper room in Pentecost through the giving of the Holy Spirit. And after today, we start the long green season of the life of the church as we contemplate not Christ's life, but his teachings. Holy Trinity Day is in neither season. It's hump day between the two. A day to celebrate, to marvel, to rejoice in the mystery of the triune God. It's a day that reminds us that the God who reveals himself to us is not the kind of God we would probably cook up for ourselves. I mean, we'd keep it simple, wouldn't we? We work up either one God without the complication of three persons like Judaism, Islam, and the Unitarians do. Or we do the many gods thing without the essential unity as Buddhism, Hinduism, and all other forms of polytheism do. But this, now let's be honest. If we wanted to engineer a religion and convince the world that we have God's truth, we wouldn't begin with a deity that needs a nonsensical cooked up word like triune. The church created that word. It did not exist to describe him, much less like a creed like that to confess him. The Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. What? But I have to say, you have to love the Athanasian Creed. I think we should do it more like 4 or 6 times a year myself. It's great, even though at first it's a little cumbersome, because it leaves no stone unturned, no angle unexamined, no wiggle room for alternative gods, takes no prisoners. Written at the close of the 5th century, after all the dust of 400 years of debate had settled, it reflects the settled understanding of who God is. With zero regard, of course, to marketability. How many Twitter threads would have to follow and reply to be able to tweet this? It just doesn't work. sure, you can tell the different persons apart. But in this creed, you can't pull them apart either. And you can't have them apart. You get one, you get the other. But how the heck do you put this all on a bumper sticker? Well, you don't. Because you can't. That's why I love it. And if you think about it, what you've got going on here with what we've seen lately, I'm so tired of hashtags. I'm tired of seeing slogans, 5 words or less, on cardboard boxes that have been opened up and turned into signage. Hashtags will come and go. Cardboard slogans will come and go. But this creed has been confessed for over 1,500 years, and it will endure to the ages. Marketability? Yeah, whatever. The point is, it's true. And I'll tell you, I want to make sure this is very clear, that when you think of this creed, the beauty of this creed is not that it makes sense. Raise your hand if you made complete sense of all of that. That's not the point. The point is it doesn't try to. It tries to confess God for who he simply is and what he says he is about. So, the good news is the whole thing, though, hangs on Jesus. But ultimately, he's the reason we're forced to speak of God in ways that stretch our mind to the snapping point. The Son of God hadn't shown his face and taken on our humanity, had he never commanded the apostles to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, had he never claimed, I am in the flesh, we wouldn't even have any of the creeds, much less this one. But when the man named Jesus claims to be the Son of God, and God validates that claim by raising him from the dead, as we heard in our second reading, well, guess what? That changes everything. The Lord is one. The one is also three. Jesus and the Father are not the same. He is the eternal Son sent by the Father in love to save the world. He prays to the Father as a distinct person, and yet he says, I and the Father are one. He sends the Spirit from the Father, and the Father sends the Spirit in his name, and all of this comes from Jesus. And all of it could be so easily dismissed. He could be brushed off as just some half-wit, two-bit, demon-possessed carpenter's son with an enormous ego complex, except for this one thing. It's all true. It's all true. Jesus died and rose bodily from the dead, leaving an open, gaping hole in a tomb and a bucket load of witnesses. It's true. Jesus predicted his own death and resurrection at least 3 times before it happened. Bravado making that claim? Not if you can back it up. And Jesus did. And frankly, anyone that can pull that off deserves to be heard. If Mark Zuckerberg gets to lecture the whole world about economic policy because he created Facebook, if police departments can be demanded to be defunded because of mob rule, how much more does Jesus Christ get to speak to the entire universe when it was created through him and when he suffered, died, and rose from the grave? No one else has that kind of a CV. As I said, it's as they say, it ain't bragging if you can do it. Jesus did. So here today, it's one of my favorite days of the year. Because what day is it? It's Hump Day! I just like doing that. We're not as much about explanation, but celebration of the pure confession of who our triune God is. Dear saints of God, we have a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, undivided, uncreated, infinite, eternal, almighty, One God, one Lord, and three distinct persons. To have one is to have them all. What one does, all do together, each according to his person. You know, I know it's real easy to get downright about now. Let's face it. Life outside of these walls, pretty much, well, I don't know if I can say this word. Pretty much sucks. I think that's fair. Is that all right with you, Charles? Okay. If it's good with Charles, it's good for everybody. It's tough. Here's the point. I'm understanding the Trinity. And I want you to embrace this today. Because I'll tell you what. I'm tired of being down. Are you? I'm tired of watching our country burn on TV and acting like it's just another episode of Tiger King. Turn the TV off. Get 15 minutes of news from somewhere you trust and leave it alone. Read God's word. Pray to your God. Even confessing this creed, though you'll never understand it till heaven when you'll understand it perfectly, will be a better use of all of our collective times than simply dealing with watching the stuff around us. But real quick before I conclude, not real quick, but the Tuesday. You know, we try to speak of God's works, creation, redemption, and sanctification when we think about the Trinity. But don't make the mistake of dividing the work among the persons. The works of God are completely indivisible. And sometimes we tend to parcel out the works of God among the persons. We think this way in the Catechism, explanation to it, and all the extra verses provided by the Synod. Sometimes we'll say, well, the Father creates, the Son redeems, the Spirit sanctifies. True enough. Not quite that nice and easy, though. I, missing baseball, prefer this analogy. Father is like the starting pitcher. Gets the game rolling. The Son is the middle reliever who clinches the game. The Holy Spirit's the closer who locks up the game with a blazing save and everybody celebrates. That's what I would do. But that's not so nice and easy either. I like to think of it that way. Do you know what the problem is? And why we confess that creed? And why I think it's so important? Is because Scripture just won't let us think that way. The Son was already busy in the beginning when God, Father, Son, and Spirit made the heavens and the earth. The Scriptures say they were made through Him, but yet the Father did it. One of the reasons why we heard that text from Genesis, if you wonder why are we hearing this, it seems like it should be the Easter Vigil, is because God said, let us, on the sixth day, let us, did you notice this? Let us make man in our image. You are made, that's the first reference. Second reference, actually, Genesis 1:1 is the first. But in this text, you get early references to the Trinity. God's creation was a Trinitarian act. The book of Proverbs personifies the Son as holy wisdom, the craftsman at the Father's side, begotten before all things, who as a creative word together with the Spirit blew over the waters of creation, including man. Each day was a delight to the Son. In fact, it was through the Son, because what is the Son? The Word. Through the Son, the Father spoke the Word, and the Spirit went out and accomplished it. Each of those words were Trinitarian. I could go on and on and on. But it's significant. Folks, this is a mystery. It needs to be confessed as a mystery. How many of you like a good mystery? There you go. Okay. You know when I do this, it means I'm going off script. Is a mystery mean something isn't true? No. It just means that you don't know the answer. When we talk about pastors as being stewards of the mysteries, we're stewards of things that are mysterious. It doesn't mean they're not true. If there's a murder mystery, a murder took place. the mystery is, and you know someone did it, you don't know who they are or where they are. And you look for the answers. When we confess this creed, we're confessing a mystery that we can't begin to fathom and understand who God is. All we can do is confess who he is, speaking back to him the words and paraphrasing with words that he's given us in his word. We know it's true. Just as when you're in a few moments going to receive the Lord's Supper. Scriptures speak of this as a mystery. We confess it's Christ's body and blood. How many of you raise your hand if you know biologically or otherwise how that actually happens? You don't. I don't. Do we confess it's true? Yes. We believe it's true, but it's a mystery. A mystery isn't something that isn't known. It's something that is true, but yet for whatever reason, the fullness of it is still somewhat hidden. And that's why, and I gave Charles the example, the idea of doing that Isaiah Mighty Seer, when you guys sang that. That is a vision from the book of Isaiah of his vision into heaven. The day will come, my friends, when everything we confess, when everything we know is true, but haven't yet fully experienced, we will not only confess with the eyes of faith, but we will see, like in that song they sang, with eyes open, the beautiful majesty of our God. It will all make sense. So yeah, to our modern ears, the Athanasian Creed seems unnecessarily ponderous, long, and repetitive. But frankly, that's because of our modern confessions are sloppy, subjective, and usually sentimental. We want to be unique. We want to put our own spin on things. No one's going to tell me what to believe, we want to say. But this creed stands in the way and says, pardon my English, hell no. This is who God is. This is what you confess. The creed demands whoever wishes to be saved shall confess this Catholic faith. Christianity is not a roll-your-own religion, and it offers nothing new. God save us from new stuff, especially when it comes to faith. You see, the Catholic faith is not made up on the fly. It's not composed on Saturday night for us on Sunday morning while your pastor is having a scotch and a cigar. You want something new in your religion? Sorry, got nothing for you. The only things new are those who are dripping wet from the font and being squeaky clean behind the ears, newly confirmed youngsters who believe and confess this true faith along with us. That's the newness you get, is bringing others into the fold and having them join this confession too. And so the Catholic faith is handed down from one generation to the next, from one believer to another. How? By baptizing and teaching. Yes, it may seem all quite confusing. And you may leave here today scratching your heads going, huh, not sure I understand it. But in the end, our confession of faith, dear friends, isn't about our reason, sense, ability to somehow put it all together. God didn't send engineers. He sent confessors of who he is and what he's done. It's not a slam on engineers. But the point is, you can't make sense of all of it, necessarily. Our confession of faith is a gift. Your faith is a gift. A gift of grace and undeserved kindness on the part of God, solely for the sake of Jesus. Let me just wrap this up and say this. Although I gotta say it one more time. On this hump day, the bottom line is that ultimately today is like any Sunday. Because every Sunday is anchored in Jesus. You were baptized and you were forgiven. You begin and end each day in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when you, dear loved ones, breathe your last, you'll be buried in that name in the joy and hope of the resurrection of the body and eternal life and triumph in the communion with God. The Bottom line, the triune God is not an object to be scientifically dissected or mathematically explained, but to be worshipped, to be adored, and to be called upon and trusted and proclaimed in all the world. So, since hopefully we now understand the Athanasian Creed and its importance a little bit more, why don't we all turn to page 319, rise and confess it together one more time. Just kidding. Once is maybe enough for the day. Although we're going to do it for those who are going to go down, we're going to do it for Bev. But for now, once again, happy hump day to all of you. To put it another way, blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. In the name of Jesus.